Blog Talk Radio.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
Shotokan Karate, the ancient Japanese martial art of self-defense. Come to the Dento Takina Dojo, the headquarters of the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203, Bronx, New York. Learn traditional Shotokan Karate from certified black belt instructors from the U.S. and Japan. Kata, Kumite, and Culture, official training center of the New York Guardian Angels. Kids, teens, and adult classes available. Call 917-383-8787 for more information. Dento Takina Dojo, headquarters for the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203. Call 917-383-8787. Come get your karate on.
The Martial Arts History Museum is the first of its kind in the world, and it only exists with your support. Give generously to the museum and always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the program, Martial Arts Talk Radio. I'm your host, Danny Venna. Today is Monday, January 7, 2013. And that, our first shout out, of course, goes to Sidekick Talk Radio with Shihan Ellen Woodman, your host, and Sensei Timmy Prisk, your co-host. You can call in every Wednesday at 12 noon and every Sunday at 6 p.m. And the phone number is 347-237-4818. This coming Wednesday, they're actually going to have a wonderful show. Go onto the website, check it out. Also, when it comes to submitting the bios for the book, Sensei Alan Woodman has given me three emails to use as a tool to submit those bios, high-res photos, and contact information, and that's SenseiAlanWoodman@yahoo.com. You can send it right to the publication email, which is SidekickPublications@yahoo.com. And then also SenseiAlanWoodman@gmail.com. So we are now on the seventh day of the year. They're working diligently to get all of the information in. So if you want to write about an instructor, you want to write about your sensei, somebody who you feel is an exceptional value to the martial arts community, by all means, use those emails to submit the bios. Make sure, I can't stress this enough, make sure that you submit high-resolution photographs. Make sure you write the bio yourself or work with somebody to write a fresh bio. Do not copy and paste off a website. Take the time to actually write the bio. Make sure it's accurate and submit it. They are looking for 500 names, so do your best to do your due diligence. Make sure that you submit the bio, high-resolution photographs, as well as contact information, just in case they have any questions. Our next shout-out goes to Sifu Alan Goldberg with Action Power Hour radio show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And to speak to the host, Sifu Alan Goldberg, you can dial 713-955-0323. And then our next shout-out goes to Dana Stamos at worldwidedojo.com. I don't know if you've had a chance to go onto the website and register your dojo, but by all means, use the tool. It's a wonderful tool. It's for all of us in martial arts to communicate with one another. It's a great way to promote your tournaments, promote seminars, workshops, any current events that you're working on within your community, dojo, even church groups, kids groups. It's all about communicating with others to promote tournaments, to also promote the style, you know, your tradition. We have a call here. This is Sensei Timmy Frisk, I believe.
How you doing, sir?
Very good. Thanks for calling in again tonight.
No problem, brother.
So we're having just a few more things that we have to cover, and that is we do have an offer. If you sign up for 5 workshops at Ed McGrath School of Ishinru, you will get 5 workshops for free. So that's a total of 10 workshops. Now, all of the information is listed on the website, so if you have any questions, you can email me. My email is there. And that something I'd like to say about one of our senseis. This is the second anniversary of his passing, Sensei Carl Mangione, and that today I was talking to both of his boys on Facebook, and they're missing their father, and I can understand what that's like. I was only a friend. I mean, you know, this is their dad, and that, you know, tonight's class, basically, I was teaching the children and the young adults. Was their class tonight, and their kata session and their kumite session, you know, we dedicated that to Sensei. So the kids are still working, Sensei. Thanks for sharing all that you shared with me over the years. I also spoke to my Sensei about it today, and he said that would be a good idea to, you know, give the kids there a little bit of history about Sensei Mangione. He was a United States Marine, just like my sensei. So, shout out goes to Sensei Carl Mangione. So, Sensei Prisk, how you doing tonight, man?
Not bad, sir. Not bad. Went and visited a new mixed martial arts academy tonight that my niece is going to be attending. So, it was an eventful evening. Went and met a lot of new guys, a lot of nice people. Welcomed us with open arms, and my niece is their newest member, and she's hoping to have her debut MMA fight within a year or so.
You've been talking about this, that this is something that this person, or I should say your niece,
yes,
is, you know, she's been talking to you about it. I know you've mentioned it a few times on Sidekick Talk Radio.
Right, right.
And now tonight was the night that she actually went and signed up, huh?
Well, no, she's been signed up with a dojo / MMA gym. Unfortunately, the owner just didn't come through with, you know, getting her a fight or getting her prepared for a fight. So she parted ways before Christmas with that particular place. And you know, after doing a lot of research and speaking with people, you know, we wound up at this place, and she asked me, since I've been teaching my niece since she's little. My sensei Jerry Tardy has become one of her teachers in the past, and you know, we just want to see her go to a place that is going to really help her get to the best point possible. And the place that we found is called The Edge in Hoboken. It's a wrestling-based academy, and it just was a really beautiful place. It's humongous. They actually offered me a very good rate to run seminars out of their extra room, which fits 100 people. So, you know, making a connection there might help out, you know, bring the family, the martial arts family we always talk to together. And, yeah, it was a very nice meeting tonight, so I have high hopes.
Sensei, we have Greg Melita on the line, I believe.
How are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
Thanks for calling in, Sensei. How are you?
Doing good, doing good.
How you doing, Sensei? Good evening.
Good.
So now, I don't know if you heard that, Sensei, but Sensei Prisk just signed his niece up to a new dojo.
Yeah, I saw that. She's looking to have her MMA debut. That's awesome.
Yeah, Greg, have you heard of The Edge out there in Hoboken, New Jersey? They're affiliated with Henzo. They're affiliated with Frankie Edgar, Ricardo Almeida, all them guys. And their wrestling pedigree that they're in line with is amazing. They had Dan Gable, which if you have any history of wrestling out there, Dan Gable, he's the name in wrestling. He's the Bruce Lee of wrestling, if you will. And he was just there about a month ago, and he spent a couple days there. And I mean, just talking to these guys tonight for the hour and a half I was there, I was just like, wow, you know, these are legit guys. Their head instructor, their head striking instructor, is actually a referee for the UFC. So they are, you know, they have a lot of guys that are professionals. They have a lot of pro MMA guys. They have a lot of pro Muay Thai guys there. I mean, it's a great place. And if you're ever in the area, brother, and you wanna take a ride over there, I'll be more than happy to bring you there. Open 7 days a week, and it just seems like a really awesome place.
That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely heard the name, and you know, I've competed against a couple of Ricardo Almeida's brown belts. You know, definitely a good line of fighters, without a doubt.
So that sounds exciting, having your niece involved in something like that, huh?
Yeah, 25 years old, and she's been. I was her karate teacher at 3 years old, and you know, she had a few things get in her way over the years where she would stop, you know, for long periods of time. But about 2 years ago, she really made the decision that she wanted to get back into it. She's been consistent for almost 2 years. And, you know, now with the change of gyms and teams, I think she's going to go far. I really do.
Yeah, huh? So now...
Yeah, she's a wild one. We call her John L. Sullivan because she's a wild one.
John L. Sullivan, the boxer?
Yeah, John L. Sullivan was known for being the bare knuckle champion, and he was the first gloved heavyweight champion of the world, of the United States of America. And she just has that same attitude. It doesn't matter in the ring, outside, you know, she'll just kick your ass.
I love it.
And I mean that. And here's a funny little story. There was an altercation. She was at a Devil's game. And there was an altercation with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend had got into an argument, a drunken argument with a family, not even just an adult. There was a father with some children, and the boyfriend got a little unruly, and she actually laid him out in front of everybody and was actually arrested by the New Jersey State Police for laying her boyfriend out. And they released him and let him go, even though he's the one who started everything, but because she knocked her boyfriend pretty much unconscious, they arrested her. So, yeah, she's not one to mess with.
She's definitely going to, if she gets a fight, she's definitely going to have to be a tough one, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we're really excited. And, you know, being the extended martial arts family that we always talk about, you know, I feel like I'm so happy for her, and I hope she doesn't get hurt, and I hope she gets to where she wants to be. But I'm also very excited to see somebody finally that I know really, you know, strive for something like that. Out of everybody I've ever known that told me they had that dream, they never got to that point. So I'm hoping that within this next year, she really pushes it, gives it her all, and she gets, even if it's only one fight, I would love to see her get that one fight.
Yeah, that'd be definitely... definitely good. I'd like to bring up a topic tonight quick, if you guys don't mind, and put in your two cents on it. I was thinking, just because, you know, I've had a lot of experience in different schools, and the topic of tuition, dues, membership, you know, there's a lot of controversy in different schools now. The two schools of thought that I've experienced, I can see where they're both coming from. But it's definitely a challenge, and you know, I found it to be different in a lot of schools. So I'll give you an example. There's instructors out there that believe that the longer you're with somebody, student to teacher relationship wise, the more that you should be willing to support their business. In other words, let's say you're with an instructor for whatever, 8-9 years, you achieve brown to black belt rank, and you're still paying full tuition dues to that instructor. You know, there are some instructors out there that, you know, once you achieve 7-8 years training with that instructor or, say, brown belt for those styles that do use belts. You know, they start teaching for that instructor, and, you know, they no longer pay. You know, maybe they're helping out with classes, whatever. Then there's instructors that say the opposite. The longer you're with a sensei, the more you should be willing to pay to support him. What do you guys think about that?
First off, I want to let everyone know that Shihan Alan Woodman just dropped me a line saying he's listening in, and you know, he wishes Shihan Vina have a great show, and you know, he's always listening and, you know, supporting just like you do for him. So he just wanted me to send that message to you real fast.
Thank you, Shihan.
On the other end, on the topic, great topic. When I taught, when I was with Sensei Churchill and Sensei Tardy, I had my own class. I took time on a Wednesday night when there was no dojo schedule, and I had friends and family that only wanted to learn from me, which, you know, I was okay with. And what I did was, for the hour and a half that I had, I gave half of what I charged. What I charged, honestly, now this is, you know, friends, family, and then it branched out to others. I charged $5, and that was it, because, you know what, I wasn't there to make money. I do understand there's bills that need to be paid, but on the topic and how you brought it up, I feel the longer you're there and the more you do for the person, that really, to me, is a fact of being loyal. And when I know somebody's loyal, there's other things they could do for me than pay me. That's what the student base is for. If you're no longer just that quote-unquote student and you're taking responsibility for me as the head instructor, if you're opening up for me, if you're getting the school ready, if you're cleaning, if you're staying after, you know, yeah, that would make me tend to go with the first option you said, and I would expect less monetarily from you because you are taking responsibility and some of the weight off my shoulders as the head instructor. Do I think that everybody should get it free if you're there for 9 years? No, I don't, because guess what? Some people that are there for 9 or 10 years aren't loyal. They might be coming and they might be doing their, you know, their business on the floor, but they're not going above and beyond like a lot of other people or students would. So, you know, I don't think anyone should ever just expect to get a freebie because they're there for a long time. I think that the ones that do step up and kind of, you know, take responsibility, help out, really give it their all and show that sensei or that Shihan or that Soke or whatever case may be, that they are there for, you know, quote-unquote life, and they're loyal and, you know, this is their home and they treat it as such, I don't see anything wrong with those people maybe getting, you know, getting, I guess, a break is a good way to put it.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I notice particularly just from a business sense that the school of thought from different countries varies a lot. Like, you know, the general American view, as I see it, I look at it like a gym membership. You know, the longer you're a member somewhere, you know, the lower your dues become. Now, obviously, that's different industry, but, you know, I seem to see a lot of foreigners have the view of the opposite, and it's very interesting because, you know, they're doing business in America and they're doing, you know, good by having a business, but they kind of have to be aware of what the school of thought is, you know. In a lot of other countries,
they love
do
our
is
money, brother. Money. That's what it is. Once they get that green bill in their hand, they just
you
want
know?
More and more. And you see it when people start charging for autographs. I'll be the first one to admit, and Shihan Vina, you know this about me, I love having that memory of meeting any martial artist. It doesn't have to be a celebrity. It doesn't have to be a movie star. Any martial artist, I love getting a memory in a picture format. And when I started meeting people and they actually wanted $20 to sign a picture for them, you know, that's when you really, really see how greed and how money comes out. And it's sad, but, you know, it's the facts of life.
Yeah, and you can see certain schools, like, want to expand their name and quote-unquote franchise or affiliate themselves out, but they do it and they don't incentivize the student enough to go on his own. You know, like, they'll want to open up a branch under the same name, and then they want $20 per student, you know, for every you know, student that comes in, that $20 goes to the main guy, and it's just not enough incentive for a student to go out on his own under the name. I see a lot of schools trying to expand their locations, and they're just doing it the wrong way. It's just business, you know, there's definitely a business side to owning the school instead of just the dedication to the actual art itself. You know, and I think that's a big topic that a lot of people don't really bring up. Like myself, I see when I have a school, if I have a student that's loyal and under me for 8 years or so, and he's starting to take, you know, he's able to teach, and then he's teaching for me here and there, you know, I'm not going to be, I definitely don't see myself, you know, banging him for the full amount every month. You know, I just feel like out of that loyalty, you know what I mean? I don't know. What do you think, Sensei Venice?
Well, you know how I am, Greg. I you know, anybody who makes the rank of black belt, you know, they've proven to me that they're the loyal student. They already know that the operation has a cost, and that any of the children that come to me for lessons, the parents are all too happy to pay the tuition only because of the results that they see in their own children. So the means, you know, justifies whatever payment that I need to keep the doors open. Mm-hmm. I've always done it that way. Sensei never charged for lessons. He just got us a place that we could go to. Usually came out of his pocket, whatever he had to pay. And whatever students did pay Sensei, he used it for the dojo.
Exactly.
So, my loyalty is to the student, and then the student's loyalty is to me. So there's the business aspect of it, because the student understands I have to incur expenses. And then, as I said about the parents, I mean, Greg's parents are dear friends of mine. But because they sent their son to me for lessons, they paid me. And they paid me willingly because we were accomplishing good things. We were using the money to better the students. It's not like I was taking the money and going to pay my liquor bill or something. That's not what that was. Every dollar that I ever got from any parent, I put back into their child. So
definitely,
the investment in the school went right back to the investment in the students. And the parents see that. I have a situation down here now that I moved to North Carolina. I have a dojo that I rent floor space. I have the same arrangement that we had out in Patchogue, Greg, where I give the sensei half of the tuition for mm-hmm. the space, and then I use the rest of the money to make sure I have uniforms, make sure I have belts, make sure I have certificates, make sure I have all of the necessary padding for the children. So I'm not making a dime, but I am helping my community. I'm helping children, young adults, and obviously some of the people now that are coming. I'm even getting parents to sign up. So, you know, I think that it's in the sincerity of how you collect the funds and how you disperse them. Obviously, when you go to tournament, there are fees associated with that. I don't get those fees. The tournament does.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that I do for the children, I do out of the tuition that the parents give me. And that,
yeah, definitely.
I'm not making a dime. I don't make any money out of teaching martial arts. I collect money, but I don't put any money in my pocket. I put it back into the school so that the school can prosper.
You know, and that's one thing. That's one thing that, you know, I'm in full respect of, because not a lot of people do that. I actually have seen a lot of people taking the funds, and you don't ever see anything new. Maybe you'll see a new bag every month or two show up, or you'll see something out of. But when you're getting $155 a month and you have 70 students,
you're not going to tell me that your rent is, you know, $20,000 a month and you're not making, you know, and then people say, oh, I'm not making anything, I'm barely getting by. But you're driving a Mercedes or a Lexus, or, you know, you can only pull somebody's leg so far. And I just don't like when, you know, there's favoritism. I don't like when there's different, you know, one person gets charged $99, one person gets charged $150 for the same exact teaching. I just don't like that stuff. You know, I like, maybe it's coming from the tradition, everybody paid the same thing. You know, when I got my brown belt and I got a key for the school, I didn't have to pay no more. That's just how it was back in our school then. You know, once you got the responsibility of having a key, being able to teach, the only thing you worried about was insurance in case you got hurt. That's it. You know what I mean? So it is what it is, and everybody has their own take on it, which I respect fully. My thing is when it's not a fair situation. I just don't agree with that.
Definitely. I mean, I just see so many different schools. I mean, I've experienced training partners leaving just from the mere fact of the money when it's such a shame. You know what I mean? Like, there's definitely a disconnect between the business side of things and the loyalty side of things, and you can see that in a lot of different schools, you know?
Well, I tell the parents that come to sign up that as long as the children are getting what they got to get, as I said, the parents are all too happy to pay the tuition because they see the results. And I think that's why I'm starting to do better and better down here, because there are a lot of schools around here that charge heavy, heavy fees. And I mean for promotions, classes, extra help.
Well, here, let me cut you off for a second. I don't know about Shion McGrath, because I wasn't around back then. But did you ever have to pay for a promotion, sir?
No, never.
No.
Sensei Melita, you neither, right? That is
in
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you do, right?
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, definitely, yeah.
But
that's different in different styles, too. I mean, my Jiu-Jitsu school is promotions once a year. It's actually an event. Nobody gets promoted on the spot.
I was just gonna say that. You know, I've bumped into a lot of places out of nowhere that call themselves traditional martial arts, yet they're charging $49.95 three times a year, for promotions. Now, first off, three times a year is just disgusting. Nobody has learned enough in 4 months to be promoted. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a prodigy, you're Doogie Howser, martial artist, no, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. So
about that, too. You know, once a year promotions we have, and then the other thing is if you win three internationally ranked tournaments, you have to go up to the next belt. So these guys like BJ Penn and these other guys, Brazilian phenoms that are getting their black belts in 3 to 4 years, it's legit. You can't sandbag in the tournaments if you won three international at the belt rank. You know what I mean?
Exactly. If you're proving yourself, which, you know, I always say this, and it's not to be derogatory towards Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, because I do love it. I have practiced it in the past. But it's more of a sport-based thing. It's more of an extreme judo, like a little bit, you know, and judo is a sport, and you get your rank in judo if you have any knowledge of it by competing. If you're not a competitor, then you don't get ranked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
which is why we follow the curriculum of the traditional crazy system, which everybody has to pass through the self-defense portion first, and we actually review all that.
That is great.
Great
that is great
school,
to hear.
Great school, by the way, Gracie Academy in Miami. They all they do is self-defense, which is great.
Really? And who runs that one?
The name is just right on top of my head. It's actually Gracie Miami, if you look it up. Oh, the Valente brothers. They're
nice.
All under Helio Gracie. Really look them up. They got great videos, and they're
that is
they're
awesome.
Specialized.
That.
They specialize in the self-defense aspect itself. Really great stuff. You want to look that up. But, yeah, definitely. I definitely see what you mean with that. But I thought that was
I know a lot of schools now have different belt ranking systems. They have stripes, and I can understand maybe more than one promotion, because they do have these half promotions basically now, just to, you know, give the kids some, you know, sense of that they're doing something. And I understand that, and for little kids I get it. But But when the adults are being promoted at a rapid rate, it just bothers me. But, you know, I do understand that some of the systems do have the stripes and the tips and,
yeah.
and, you know, different levels of brown, different levels of blue, whatever have you. I just don't get it when an adult in the beginning of the year is a white belt, and by the end of the year they're a blue belt already, and it's not the next rank. You know what I mean? It's just
yeah.
some places are extreme, and they just
yeah.
it's about the money, and it's about, you know, just keeping that person happy.
Definitely.
And then, you know, others I understand when, you know, the younger kids, I love to see younger kids when they get promoted. I'm sure you both understand that point of view.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we're coming to the end of the show. We could talk
yeah,
about that some
so.
More. Next time I could come, I'd definitely like to talk about the opinions of people training at other schools when they're still, you know, basically with one sensei. But that's for another
yeah.
show.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good topic. I think we just got cut off.
Well, I see that the recording has stopped, but
yeah.
sometimes they do extend the broadcast, fellas. So watch.
Yeah, I think Sensei Venna, the last three nights or so, it's been extended, no? Like maybe 6 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why, you know, just watch what you say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're keeping it very PG tonight, gentlemen.
Yes, yes. Well, no, that
we are
hey,
still
listen,
on.
I,
oh, no, we're not on. We're not on. We've been cut off. Sensei Woodman, Shion Woodman just wrote to me and said we got cut off.
Okay. It goes fast. I know.
Good topic, though. Definitely a good topic. What else you guys thinking over there? Anything you guys want to talk about?
You know, I like this format of your show, Sensei, because it's a little more just conversation, where the
yeah.
other one is, you know, we have a guest, and the guest tells us about them, and then we ask a few questions, maybe.
You got a structure over there. Here, it's more like it's very free, and it's really good because you can actually promote this as almost like a free open forum, you know what I mean? The Sidekick Talk Radio is a hell of a lot of listeners, but if we can get them to maybe promote this as like a free open discussion type of thing.
Open,
you know,
I was considering telling you, you know, kind of get it out there as an open, a martial arts open mic.
Yeah,
basically.
You know what
you know,
I mean?
But besides, if, you know, if Sensei Ben has some interviews or something to host, and he can tell us what nights will be like, you know, open nights, and maybe we can push that on Sidekick and get some listeners over there. That'd be good.
Oh, I could push anything I want. I run the Facebook page, so I could put anything I want on there. Alan doesn't really run that. I started it. I run it. He just puts the links up and everything like that. So, I enjoy these open conversations because I also there's a difference when you have some celebrity from Hollywood on or some big, oh, I'm the 10th in line for Yip Man's this. And, you know, I love talking to those guys and everything, and it's an honor. But you know what? I got to bite my tongue in a lot of stuff. I got to try to be politically correct. And you know what? That's not who I am. Yeah, you know, Shion Zaina, you know me. I'm not politically correct with a lot of people, so I say what's on my mind.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Now, we're definitely off the line.
Yeah, we're off. He told me we're off. He said you guys hit over the limit and he's got cut off.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was just, you know, pretty much,
Sensei, you could hit end show just to make sure if you want to, just to make sure we're not on the air.
And then if I do that, will it cut me off from you guys?
I'm not sure.
No. Yeah, we're better off, I guess, just stick and safe. I was going to talk about some things off topic, but.
Well, hold on 1 second. I'm going to put it on my phone to see if we are off the air.
I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just... Let's see.
Give me 1 second. I'm just loading my phone right now. It says right here when I go to click on it, your show
is
ended.
The thing is we might be technically... It might say it's off the line, but when it saves it and when it puts it in the
oh, yeah.
the queue... All the storage, you know what I mean? So
that'd be awesome.
No, it happens.
Yeah, it's
does get extended.
That's how it's...
You know, they will record, I think, up to a certain point, and
okay,
then
cool.
they upload it. Sometimes this extra stuff goes on if you listen
yeah.
to it.
Awesome. Yeah,
well,
that's what
well,
it is. Like, we think we'll be cut off, but then when you go into the archives. It's like 39, 40 minutes every time I look at that show.
So that's why you gotta, you know.
Well, if you want to do that, if you want to do a night or two of like an open mic, an open conversation, call in with a topic, and whoever's on the line will talk about it. I'll promote that on Sidekick Talk Radio, and on the website. I mean, you give me the days at your show, and you give me a day or two where you want to do something like that. If that floats your boat, if that's, you know, somewhere you want to go, and we'll, you know, try that format, because it seems to, you know, Alan was listening. I know probably Goldberg was listening. So I'm sure some of these people are, you know, are catching the show.
Yes. Yeah. I have no problem with it being open mic every night. The only reason why I talk about topics that I talk about is because I don't know if I'm going to get any calls or not, so I just start talking.
But yeah, yeah.
I think
you're doing it the best way. I think, you know, if nobody calls in, you're going on with what you want to talk about. If you get me and Sensei Prisk on there, we're bringing up topics that really go somewhere good. And you know what I mean? It's kind of like you have an interview you're going with, you put it on. I think it's good.
The last few nights have been really good. If I have callers, then I'll talk about what the callers want. If I don't have any callers, then I just start ranting. You know, I just start talking.
We build up a listener base from Sidekick, and we start to get more time, and we can do more
now,
things, you know?
Is a half hour the only option that's free from them?
No, you get two free options. One is 15 minutes, one is 30 minutes.
And what do they charge you if you were to go up to an hour? Is there a charge for that? Because Alan's up to 2 hours, and I don't think he charges. I don't think he gets charged.
I don't know how he does that.
Well, maybe it's just based on your viewers, and they give you more, I think. I think that's got to be how it goes.
I'm thinking it got to be something like that, because he told me that he had the option of taking 2 hours when we started the show, when I came on board with him. And you know, I said, if you want to do that, I said, I'm not asking you to add any more time for me, but if you want to, we could fill it. So, you know, it wound up taking off, and it wound up being successful. Sometimes we go over, and we go over on 2 hours, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Well,
to be a premium
host is $39 a month or $399 a year. And then you can go from what's called the Premium Plus is $99 a month to $1,000 a year. The Pro is $249 up to $2,500 a year. And then the Enterprise level, forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for guys who like have, you know, 20,000 listeners and people back in the show and everything like that. I know Alan had a few sponsors, so maybe he did get somebody to sponsor the show. I know he had a food place that sponsored the show and stuff like that, so maybe that's the route.
Oh, he did it because for a two-hour show per day, you know, it would be the premium host fee, which is $39 a month or $399 a year.
So he probably had some people come and sponsor the show, and he took care of it that way. I never asked him about the details. I didn't really know anything about this until he asked me to, you know, be part of the show. I didn't even know it existed, to be honest with you.
Hey, listen, so, you know, we get 3.5 hours a week at 30-minute blocks each night
for
free.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The only other thing I could say is maybe an hour before broadcast, like maybe 10 p.m., maybe we should get together on Facebook or something, nights that we could all call in together and be like, hey, listen, you know, maybe we could talk about this question so it's all planned out and we're not, you know, jumping in and using the half hour up so fast.
Right. That's no problem.
That's the only other suggestion I can make to make that half hour really last. Like maybe take two really good subjects and stick to two really good subjects to really get that half hour's worth.
Right, like 15 minutes.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. And then maybe other people will call in, and you know, we have to take account for that. And you know, I know you have your opening statements and your you know, the shout outs and everything. So, you know, it's just a matter of using the half hour wisely. And maybe if we can't cover it on a Monday, we can cover it on a Tuesday.
Right. Right.
So,
which is the wonderful thing about being able to schedule. Right now, if you're not a premium host, you can go after 11 o'clock, you know, from 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on, and then they don't, for the free people like me, you can't go between certain hours because that's for the premium hosts. So I used to do it at 5 p.m., but Greg doesn't get out of work until late, and that's why I changed it to like 11, so that usually if Greg has time, he'll call in. That's why I made it 11 o'clock.
11. I don't think it's a bad time. I think people are still, you know, most people are still unwinding. They're just relaxing. You know, for me, this is my relaxation time. The kids are asleep. My wife's asleep. I get to sit at the computer for a little while. I got the TV going. So, you know, 11 isn't a horrible time. So I don't think it's a bad decision. I mean, 5 o'clock,
yeah.
People are still at work. You know, just like you said, people are stuck in traffic. People are getting home to dinner. So, you know, I think 11 o'clock is a decent time for you.
Yeah.
To 11:30 every night.
So it was definitely fun, and as long as my kids are sleeping tomorrow night, I'll be calling again.
Okay, well, thank you again for calling.
The only times that you won't hear from me is if one of the kids had a nightmare or have a late night and I'm sitting here with a kid on my lap. So, all right, and we'll talk about, we got other stuff, I guess, to cover and, you know, personal stuff that we got to cover and try to figure out and all that good stuff, too. So, some stuff that we talked about a few months ago and everything, so.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I would like to talk about, and I know it's been mentioned many times on Psychic Talk Radio, is the fact that you go to a dojo, you pay the tuition, and what you get out of that money that you're paying doesn't equal what you're paying. That's one of the reasons why I let you guys, you know, talk tonight. But what Greg brought up about the money tonight, we should talk about that a little more often, because if you take your kid and you sign them up to a dojo, just think of this now as you as the parent, you have to pay that bill. After a year, 2 years of that child going to that activity, you've expended X amount of dollars. Well, the result of what you've expended has to be in that child.
Absolutely.
And if not, we have to talk about that, because there are quality dojos out there, and then there are the McDojos. When I came to North Carolina, I met a blind kid here. He had been training all his life in Chicago. The kid moved to California. He wound up here in North Carolina, and I met him. And he's a blind kid now, so he's carrying knives in his pockets and all these different things and everything. I put him into a little flip. The stuff came out of his pocket, and I said, look, now I'm going to pick, you can't even see the knife because you're blind. I'm going to pick that knife up off the floor, and I'm going to stab you with it. The first thing I did for this kid was make him a harness so that he has easy access. The weapons aren't falling out of his pocket, and I just met the kid. He had been studying down here for a long, long time, paying tuition fees, and no one ever addressed that. Are you kidding me?
That's sick.
When I asked him to throw a front snap kick, when I asked him to throw a punch, nothing. Nothing. Even my wife said to me, oh, my God, honey, that's terrible. Well, down here a year.
Is he older? Is he younger?
24 years old. Well, I've been down here a year. You got to see this kid. Now, he's blind. We use signals because his hearing is impeccable. And,
right. I hear a pin drop.
Well, I take my thumbnail and I click it 3 times on my teeth, and I can be about 30 yards away from this kid and he'll find me.
Wow.
With 3 little clicks like this. Did you hear that?
Wow. Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah. Well, Brando hears that, okay? And he can find me now. I make him do things. He's a blind kid. How do you know if you're going to get attacked from the rear? How do you know you're even going to get attacked? So the first thing I did was I secured his weapons, right? I built him a harness, a leather harness. I built him a harness. So he has easy access to his weapons. And then I made him look like a karateka. I taught him how to throw a kick. I taught him how to throw a punch. I taught him how to throw a block, a wrist lock, a takedown. All the submission moves. I mean, this kid has to close the gap, because if you don't close the gap, you can punch him. He's been studying down here for years, fellas.
He's got to go based on feel, you know.
That's right, Sensei. That's why I told him, you got to close the gap. As soon as you feel my breath, you hear my presence, you close that gap. And then we taught him, I mean, he keeps a sharp thumbnail. His thumbnail is long, and he uses that as a knife. it can actually cut your carotid artery with that fucking thing.
I'll bet.
No, listen to me, fellas. This kid has been, his father died. His father was a DEA agent. His father was killed and left him a lot of money. He spent thousands and thousands of dollars in dojos. And not one of these motherfuckers taught this kid how to look like a martial artist. Now, I taught him in my driveway. In my driveway, where all my neighbors saw what I was doing with this kid. Well, that's how I built the school with the kids. Because there's literally 40 kids on this little cul-de-sac that I live on.
How many?
40. 40.
Wow.
I got 4 myself in this one little house. There's like 20
right.
houses on this little cul-de-sac. They all go to school with my Jackie. You know, I'm telling you. And it's all because I don't charge